Tell me about your life here in prison. Do you read newspapers? Do you listen to the radio? Do you watch television? Do you communicate with people on the outside? What goes on for Charles Manson in this prison?
Well, I can feel the grass growing out there on the lawn, and there's a few trees that's got some leaves on it that I can feel. And I've been in jail all my life, so I'm actually right here at home. How long have I been in jail? 34 years? 34 years, so...
Out of 47, you've been here 34.
I've been in jail, prison, a long time, all my life. I was raised up in here. So I understand jail, so I understand myself, and I can deal with that. I set my cell, and I do my number, like a convict does his number.
You like jail, don't you?
I don't dislike or like...
Let's go back to 1967, the time you were winding up serving a term of number of years, 10 years. And written accounts indicate that you told the authorities, don't let me out, I can't cope with the outside world. Do you have a recollection of that?
And desperate plea out of something, man. There's no desperate plea out of it. I say, I can't handle the maniacs outside, let me back in.
I didn't use the word desperate, that's your word, Charles.
Yeah, well, your inflection and your voice tones were implications there.
Well, you use the word maniacs on the outside. How are you different from the maniacs on the outside? And why do you call them maniacs? Because you know something, they think you are one.
Yeah, it would reflect, if you hold the negative up, to the light, you don't see the light, you just see the negative. So I'm a reflection of your negative, there's no doubt about that, and I can handle that also. I've been handling, ain't I?
I don't know, have you?
Well, I've been up and down these damn hallways, in and out of these nut wards for the last 10 years. You think you could follow that act?
Don't want to follow that
act.
I don't want to get into it, but why do you want to get into that?
Well, what crowd?
Why do you want to
you playing for?
Huh?
I'm playing for my life. You working for money.
What does that mean, you're playing for your life?
I'm working for my life, mister. I'm not playing for money.
What do you mean you're working
for keeps?
What do you mean you're working for your life?
I'm playing for real.
What does that mean, you're playing for real? How are you playing for your life?
That's something you can't buy.
When you say you're playing for your life, am I to assume that you think that someday you're going to get out of here?
Get out of here.
If you got out of here, there are a lot of people who think you'd go start killing people again.
Again? Mm-hmm. Well, you guys are misinformed. I haven't killed anyone.
What about Shay?
What about him?
Well, what about him?
He got killed.
Well, the word is you killed him. Word is you stabbed him. What's
oh,
it feel
word.
Like? What does it feel like to kill
word.
Somebody? Else?
Word is that you're an old woman. Word is you have turkey in the sky. Word is, I don't know what word is. Somebody else tell you that. I didn't tell you
Did
that.
Did you kill Shay?
Hell.
Did you cut Hinman's ear off?
Hell, yes.
How'd that feel when you cut his ear off?
I felt bad.
Truth is fun, though. Isn't the truth fun now when you...
Yeah,
okay,
sure.
You cut his ear off. What did it feel
truth
like?
Fun.
When you,
my goodness.
What did it feel like when you cut his ear off?
Huh?
Tell me about it. Come on.
What did it feel like?
Yeah.
Well, I had done what he said for about 20 years. I'd done everything he told me to do. And I got to thinking, now, why don't this guy do something I tell him to do? And he said, no. I said, well, how comes I'm always doing what you tell me to do, but then you never do what I say to? And he said, well, blah, blah, blah. So I said, now you do what I say. And he he said, no.
I said, you do exactly what I said.
And he said, no.
I'm telling you. I'm not asking you. I'm telling you. You do exactly what I said.
So, Bobby said, he was a young dude, and he said, I'm your brother. I said, okay.
Bobby?
I'm your brother. Beausoleil. Beausoleil. I just got out of prison.
Wait.
Yeah.
Let me interrupt you for a second.
Yeah, well, then we're gone with that thought.
No, because you're getting on the...
Then we'll go to another one, and then you make me look crazy.
No. You can make yourself look crazy, Charles.
Okay.
I can't make you look crazy, and please believe me.
All right. I'll believe you, and I'll put it in my left-hand pocket for later.
Let me take you back to you wanting this man... Hinman.
I cut
to do
zero off
because
he was over Bobby, and Bobby was a youngster and really didn't know what the hell he was doing, and he was a kid and he never had no man show him nothing. See, so I was telling the boy, I said, the guy, he says, you got my money. I said, go and get the money or leave him alone.
You're taking me to another story.
No, I'm trying to tell you the same thing, and we'll be here for 1,000 years unless you let me finish it.
No. We won't be here for that long at all if you'll just speak to this one point.
I'm at the point. Why cut the dude zero off, man? That's the point.
I didn't ask you that. I said, why was it important to you to make Hinman do what you wanted him to do?
Because
he had a gun. Okay, and if one follows your story through the times on the ranch down in Southern California, it was important for Charles Manson to be a leader, to have people follow him?
Come on, district attorney. See, you've been full of brainwash. That's the district attorney. I'm nobody's leader, and I'm nobody's follower. I got a parole officer, I got a sleeping bag and a guitar, and I'm staying at Old Blind Man's Ranch. And that's about the extent of it. All this occult, all that hocus-pocus stuff that you guys are playing, I don't know nothing about all
you
that.
You know nothing about something called Helter Skelter. You know nothing about
it. Yeah, I know about Helter Skelter. It was a song that some people sang.
And that's all
it was. And some other kids picked it up in their minds.
Don't forget, the Beatle boycott is still in effect. We haven't forgotten what the Beatles said.
Down.
Manson had a plot, Helter Skelter.
Yeah.
Manson had a little scheme called Creepy Crawlers. He'd send people in to move furniture around. Is that all a figment of somebody's imagination so far, or is that, or is there any truth to that? Tell me, Charles, I don't know.
It's a fairy, it's worse than a fairy tale.
It's a fairy tale.
It's a comedy. It's a comedy tragedy opera that was played in the early morning.
Come on, Charles.
It was sickening.
Off the space shuttle.
You know?
Well, that's what the DA gave you for reality.
Okay.
He stood in the courtroom and said, this man did this and this man did that, and you all believed him. He said, this man did that. And I said, Your Honor, may I speak? And he said, no, you can't speak. I said, Your Honor, I got a voice. Let me talk. He said, no, sit down. Shut up. Then he handcuffed me, take me to the back, whip my... What are you going to do? I come out and sit down, and I ain't going to get whipped again.
Didn't you stand up in that courtroom?
By the way, let me just go back. I felt the repercussions in the back of it.
You say the whole thing's a fairy tale. You say the whole thing is make-believe.
Yeah, that's his Helter Skelter. It wasn't mine.
The body of Sharon Tate is make-believe.
That's make-believe to the people that went in there and did what they did.
Mm-hmm. And who were those people? You know who they were.
Sure I know who they were.
They were with you at the Spahn Ranch. They were part of this thing called, if not the Manson family or the Manson cult, the Manson Ranch. Call it what
you
will.
So then, what?
There's another newspaper account that you can now speak to since you haven't done it before. That on the night following the killings at the house on Cielo Drive in Los Angeles, you accompanied four people to a home occupied by Mr. and Mrs. Leo LaBianca.
Yeah.
That you went inside that house, mm-hmm. you tied them up,
mm-hmm.
and assured them that they were not going to be hurt.
Mm-hmm.
That you went back outside and sent Kasabian and Krenwinkel and Watson and Atkins inside the house to kill them. True or false?
Mm-hmm.
Because you know something, Charles? That's what you were convicted of, among other things.
All right.
Is it true or false?
Do you deserve...
No. It's a yes or a no.
No.
But it's so simple.
Try it. No. Nothing's yes or no. No. Did you put through your little boxes and things? You know. Look here. First, you have to see where I'm coming from.
Not on that question. There's no coming from anywhere on that question, Charles. Did you do that? Chair's getting hot, huh? Get mad? Get angry, come over here and hit me if you like. But why don't you answer the question?
Hit you?
If you like.
No.
Answer the question.
I don't want to hit you. I got out of prison, and I went up in the streams, and I seen a big, fat, dead rat laying in the water.
Uh-huh. Same question again.
Same question again.
Mm-hmm.
Did I break the law?
No. The question was, on the night following the murders, or the killings, or whatever else you want to call it, the Melcher home,
mm-hmm.
on Cielo Drive in Los Angeles, newspaper accounts claim that you Krenwinkel, Atkins, Kasabian, and Watson went to the home of Mr. and Mrs. LaBianca in Los Angeles. He went inside their house, tied them up, assured them that they would not be hurt, and then went outside and sent the other four in newspaper accounts, and this is one of the things for which you were convicted in the courtroom in Los Angeles. Now here's your chance for the whole world to tell it straight once and for all. Did you do that?
Did I kill anyone?
No. Did you go in and tie up the LaBiancas that night? Very simple question.
That night.
August 10th, 1969.
That night. August 10th.
Did you?
69.
Why duck it? Why dodge it? Why not answer yes or no once and for all, put it behind you?
Did I kill anyone?
Did you tie up the LaBiancas? Atkins testified you did.
The Staircase of Justice by Susan Denise Atkins. So, Tex cut the screen on one of the windows. He opened the window and crawled inside. The next thing I know, he was standing at the front door letting us into the house. She must have thought I was someone's friend, because when she looked up at me, she just kind of smiled and waved. And we all washed out across Sandy Hook's Maine. Continuing. So, then I forget about Cedric, but one of the victims said, "What are you gonna do with us?" And Tex looked at him and he said, "You are all gonna die. Like the leaves do on the grass. And some units are destroyed in foreign conflict, you know? And we're alone in this house of the forgotten." Oh, these longing halls. Bring her on over here. These are all my new last days. Someone's friends. Because then she sort of looked up to us and waved. And that was the next thing that had happened, that after the shock of it happening, that it was all that had left in the carpet. I mean the carpet.
Drill, bouncing ball.
If you will step this way, we will continue our tour of Central Management Course CS-122. Areas 13 through 24 are in trans state. Excuse me. Mr. Van Buren's office? No, I'm sorry, he's not available right now. May I take a message? Larry Wilson? All right, I'll give him the message. Thank you for calling. Bye-bye. Excuse me. Areas 13 through 24 are in trans states B and C. The others are titles for classification. Sandra Robbins, Elmer Dinkins, Elizabeth Frieden, as well as all the security monitoring systems are located here in the central complex. Beware. from over and kill Frykowski. Could it have been Frykowski, you ask? It could have been Frykowski. It could have been a chair. I don't know what it was. Look at that clock.
On the planet of your own.
on the planet anyways.
I'm an outlaw, and I go so far, and then that's all you know.
And if you did,
that's like asking Jesse James.
And if, as others have written, and as others have testified, and as the media has reported, you did that.
Yeah.
And you sent your friends back in to do the deed. Aren't you a coward?
My friends back in to do the terrible deed.
Doesn't that
the
make
wicked
you...
deed? Did we have the castle there with the vampires and the Frankenstein and the bugs and lizards dying in the deserts? Do we have the water that's dying and the whales are being killed and seals are
here
dying?
We go again. Lay it off on somebody else. Let's point to all the other injustices.
I'm in the world all by myself?
Yeah. On this one you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was okay. If that's the way you see it for you.
Well, whether you like it or not, Charles, all those things that happened that August in Los Angeles are identified as the Manson killings.
Yeah, that's what your history book will
say. So you can sit here and talk to me about the whales in Hiroshima, and you can sit and talk about the environment and the Great Lakes, and that's all fine. But what it really comes down to in this particular instance is that this one is your ballgame.
Yeah, well, if I can get some help from the doctor, then I can get my mind straightened out a little bit, and maybe I could come back and play like a human.
cards have been drawn. The night song whispers run, runs on the dawn. Thinks I'm flying. If you want to keep on dying.
How much dope did you use in your lifetime? Were you a heavy user of dope?
No, I smoked a little grass, and I've taken some acid, mescaline, psilocybin, peyote, mushroom. But actually take dope, no, nothing. I wouldn't take anything with it I feel would hurt me.
Do you feel that those things that you just mentioned hurt you at all, Charles?
Physically or spiritually?
Mentally.
And then on what level? On the level of society, the way you view the norm?
No. Stop the hogwash. Do you feel that the drugs that you did use in your earlier lifetime confused you, altered your mind, juggled it, scrambled it, made you see things differently? Stay on that level if you can.
And maybe I find a spirit of caveman think through brain.
Let me try it again. Do you think the drugs you used hurt you?
Drugs hurt me? No, I don't think the drugs have hurt me. If I overdone it, I think it would.
You don't want to be anybody's leader?
No.
Never did want to be anybody's leader?
No. Don't like attention.
Then why do you...
Most insecure people need attention.
I was just going to say, then, if you don't want attention, why do you keep... Why all your life have you kept waving your arms saying, hey, look at me?
That's what I've been doing all my life.
Well, I would have to say that a young man...
Let's see if I got that documented.
...who by the time he's 20 years old has been in and out of jails and reform schools for a variety of offenses that include wife-beating, homosexual...
Wife-beating, now that's... Never whipped my old lady.
Didn't you?
No, I punched my mother out once.
Oh, you did? All right, well, we'll call it mother-beating. Forging
but
checks.
But she was wrong. She lied to me and beat me for my money, and she didn't do right.
Forging checks. Forging checks. Car theft. I mean, these are ways of waving your arms and saying, look at me, give me some attention.
Yeah.
Yet you say you don't want any attention. Now, Charles, that's a contradiction.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
Well, over a period of about 20 years, I imagine you'd want to change something. I'm not very wise to many things, but I am wise to one thing. You know.
What's that?
Well, I'm not going to tell you.
Okay.
I got a thing down south I've been working on that might come true. You know, it's hard to make a reality. You know, everybody's stuck in the realities that are already made and locked in the movies that have already perpetrated those realities, you know? It's like when I got out, I went to Universal Studios and this Hebrew producer told me he wanted me to help him write the music for a movie about the Second Coming of Christ. He told me that he wanted me to play music with a guy from South Africa and another guy from Africa. And I told him, yeah, my uncle would shoot me for doing that. I said, no, I don't play music like that, you know. So then he blackballed me from the music system and then burned all my music up because I wouldn't go along with his trip, see. So what he was doing is he was using the black people on one side of town to play his music and make money. And then he had a Hebrew woman with kids on the other side of town that he was giving the money to. In other words, and I said, oh, you got a little double thing going here, you know. You want to call people racist if they don't use people? I said, I don't use black people. I said, because if I use people, then I'm used by people. So I don't want to be used by anyone, so therefore I'm not going to use anyone, you know. So we had a big thing there, you know, and like, I was going to shoot him, but then I thought, well, if I shoot him, I'll go back to the penitentiary, and I didn't want to shoot him, you know. Because I didn't want to go back to jail. So I went through some changes, and I lost the music there, and then the Beach Boys gave it back to me, you know.
Well, you're welcome to come. We are sneaking in the county jail, looking under the door to see if the man is there. Sneaking like little children out of town. Sneaking all around the courthouse. Sneaking in and out of the ventilator. Sneaking everywhere. Everything is sneaky up around Sneakyville. Everything we have to do to get to the truth has to be sneaky. It seems a shame to have to sneak to get to the truth. To make the truth such an evil, dirty, old, nasty thing. You gotta sneak to get to the truth. The truth is condemned. The truth is in the gas chamber. The truth has been in your stockyards, your slaughterhouses. The truth has been in your reservations, building your railroads, emptying your garbage. The truth has been in your ghettos and your jails. In your young love, not in your courts and your Congress, where the old set judgment on the young. What the hell do the old know about the young? You put a picture of old George on the dollar and tell you that he's your father, worship him. Look at the madness that goes on. You can't prove anything that happened yesterday. Now is the only thing that's real. You can try to prove that Columbus sailed on an ocean, but it's not the same ocean. It's a different ocean. Hey, and it's a whole new world for you and whatever kind of life you got sprinkled in the field of planets. You know? And how the only answer is yes. To everything. Hey, it's a small thing, but it exists. And so the answer is yes. You know, like as in positive. When you want the prize tomato, it's only really a reflection of your heart. Like a blade of grass is on a big wide hill. Hey, tell Nixon that. And watch him take a shit on the pot. And say, my God, I'm a part of mankind. For you. And whatever kind of life you got planted in the field of planets. You know? And how the only answer is yes to everything. Hey, it's a small thing, but it exists. And so the answer is yes. You know, like as in positive. When you want the prize tomato, it's only really a reflection of your heart. Like a blade of grass is on a big wide hill. Hey, tell Nixon that. And watch him take a shit on the pot. And say, my God, I'm a part of mankind for you. And whatever kind of life you got sprinkled in the field of planets. You know? Or you can sit out under the star. For heaven's sake.
What about your wife? You were married once, weren't you?
Yeah.
How'd that go? Why'd you want to get married? That's kind of conventional. That's kind of normal. That's kind of in the rut, as you say, to get married.
That's why I got married.
Married for sex was the reason you got married.
Yeah, that's what I didn't know what was happening. I knew there was something happening, but no one would tell me, so I had to find out. You know, I didn't have books like you guys, Playboys and stuff, in them days.
Mm-hmm.
I had to find out for myself.
Why do you think us guys are all Playboys? We can't
Man, I didn't say you were Playboys. I was talking about Playboy magazine type
Okay. You had a son by that marriage, didn't you?
Yeah, I got a kid somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Do you think about him?
Not as much as my father did me.
So two wrongs make a right in Charleston.
No, I didn't say there's anything wrong with the way my dad's been taking care of me. He lets me live. I'm alive.
Yeah. I remember you saying, or being quoted in the courtroom in Los Angeles, as saying, the children who came at you with knives are your children.
Yeah, I didn't raise them. You raised them.
You are the ones who kicked them out. You are responsible for what they've done.
That's right. Just as much as I am.
Mm-hmm. So you, in my mind, were criticizing society for kicking their children out. And
sure.
Yet I've just seen you sit here and say, yeah, I got a kid somewhere.
Yeah.
How can you criticize other people for kicking their kids out? And you did the same thing.
Difference, many levels, difference. See, my old lady left me and run off with a truck driver. She said, let's steal a car and go to California. And I said, man, I ain't gonna steal no car and go to California and go back to jail. She says, we won't get caught. But we didn't get caught, just I got caught. She didn't get caught. So then she had a kid, and then some truck driver came along, and I was a green kid, and I didn't know what I was doing. You know, so she said, you know, I got a ride from you, I'll see you later. She took off and got married to somebody else. You know, she's a good girl.
And besides the son that you had in your marriage, you've got, what, four other children somewhere?
Oh, I don't think I've been responsible for as much as you people want to lay on me.
Well, how many children do you have, Charles?
How many children do I have? I don't know. I have lots of children, man.
Hey, Butch, how long does a dog live?
15 years.
Somebody sent me a picture today of a dog laying in the bed, and it looks like a dog that used to be at the ranch. And I was just thinking, yeah, that's been so long ago, he'd probably be dead by now, huh? About a dog. The guy used to live at the ranch, was always drinking beer, riding a pickup truck, right? And he lived over in the trailer on the ranch. His name was Bob. And he was a far out kind of dude, man. He was a drunk and half-assed mechanic and a little bit of nothing, you know? And he'd ride around in his truck just talking about making money. That's all he gave a fuck about. And he told me, he said, for God's sakes, man, whatever you do, don't take that goddamn chain off that dog. And Butch, that dog would lay there and pee on itself. You know, it was so pitiful. You know, he'd lay there and he'd just cower to no end. Piss on himself. Squaller in it, you know, lick at your shoes and make his paws go up and down. And I figured he belonged to the other guy. I wasn't gonna bother him, you know, till one day the other dude was gone, and I thought I'd let the dog go for a walk. I can't keep in mind, Butch, we got 35 dogs at that ranch, and every one of them is like wild dogs. They don't have names. They got names, but they don't have, they never had a bath. And if they don't catch rabbits, the only thing they're going to get is some old dried up puppy chow, you know, that Purina shit, 50-pound bags. You know, in other words, I got all the dogs on the end of the city. They're eating at the ranch, see? And I'm letting them be, right? So I let this motherfucking dog up, and it was a goat, way down at the end of the motherfucking thing. That dog grabbed the first dog and just chewed him up, threw him up against the wall. Reached for the second one, and he was gone, you dig? He tore up two or three chickens going across the thing. His hair stuck straight up on his back, and he was off. You dig what I'm saying? Huh? What? Oh, man, he's... Boy, this motherfucker was strutting, Jack. And he jumped up, man, and his teeth was about 3 feet from that fucking goat, man. When I finally got over there and got on him, and I put my knife on his neck. Hey, look here, man. What are we gonna do tonight?
What's that? Probably everything we do every night.
How do you feel about spending the rest of your life in prison?
Well, we're all our own prisons. We each are our own wardens, and we do our own times. We used to get stuck in our own little trips, and we kind of judge ourselves the way we do. You know, I can't judge nobody else. The best thing I could do is try to judge myself and live with that. See, what other people do is not really my affair unless they approach me with it and want me to do something about it, then I'll take into consideration what has to be done. But other than that, I just try to do my number and do my time, get out on the main line, play some tennis, walk around, make the chow a little better, you know. And then there's a possibility the preacher could teach me something, because the preacher, the reverend, is quite a guy, and I'm finding that I've got two or three doctors here that's got a lot of sense. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, they got a lot of sense in my world, you know. And I've tried to shake two or three of them, but they're pretty smart. And then they got some pretty good inmates here trying to get out, work their lives into a decent sort of way. Trying to promote harmony, pull ourselves together, be right, do right, and have the understanding of what it is in a congenial form for world peace. There's a lot of people working for world peace.
want an answer.
There are no answers for you, Mr. Mulder.
Why weren't we told the truth?
What's the truth?
The truth has not been in your courtroom. Never has been in your courtroom. All you have is confusion in your courtroom. Why do I have to stand and take the blame for your sins again? I've spent my life in jail, paying for you, so that you could ride your bicycles, have your birthday parties, have what you call a life. You know, I never had a life. I don't even know what life is, you know. I go to your desert. I'm not even allowed to live in your desert. I'm no good for anything except to be used as your scapegoat. I'm used. Every day of my life I've been used. When I haven't been used and I have been on the street, I've been chased, run, harassed, pushed, kicked. My ribs have been broken, you know. The same guy that gives you a traffic ticket is the same guy that knocks my brains out. He figures just because he's the man, he can get away with it because nobody's gonna say anything. My daddy's not a congressman, or a doctor, or a lawyer.
Were you happy when you found out you weren't going to go to the gas chamber, Charles?
I knew I wasn't going to go to the gas chamber because I hadn't done anything wrong.
You scared to die?
Sometimes I feel I'm scared to live. Living is what scares me. Dying is easy. Getting up every day and going through this again and again is hard. I'm carrying a heavy thought. The thought I'm carrying is very heavy.
will not pretend to wait for you to grow up again. The universal mind, all times wake up, all times. Wake up all time. Those in the mind who think they have a mind are not in the mind, because the mind has no time. The infinite consciousness lives in the infinite soul, carries on from your children, parents, children, and everything you see, all that you hear, everything you're told. And the way you're told impresses your minds within.
The real Charles Manson, hardly the glowering, sinister, and assertive mastermind that was pictured of his life before and after the Tate LaBianca killings in Los Angeles. The real Charles Manson appears to be confused and frightened. Confused, if you recall his admonition that we look at ourselves to better understand him. Yet each time I pressed him on details about the murders, Manson could not even look at himself, nor his relationships with his mother, his wife, and his son. And he's frightened. During our conversation, you recall Manson said, "I'm living, aren't I? They let me live, didn't they?" Followed by that little nervous laugh. The man does not want to die. I think he's frightened by death, and I think that he is as scared of us as we are of him. I get the feeling he'll be quite content to spend the rest of his life playing mind games in the jailhouse. And I also believe that Charles Manson knows exactly what he's done.
Neighborhood lives downstairs, and it's understood he's there just to take good care of me, like he's one of the family. Charles in charge of our days and our lives. Charles in charge of our wrongs and our rights.